as you shake your booty all across the public transport network of Sydney this weekend. Here's celebrating a little bit of dancing. Legal for the first time in Sydney in about 12 months. Nightclubs will be doing a roaring trade this weekend. But what is it about dancing that you love? What is it about dancing, that visceral experience of doing it in a crowd of so many other people, that appeals to us on some primal level? We've been taking your calls and texts throughout the afternoon, and I'd love to continue to do so. 1300 222 702 is the phone number. The text line, 0467 922 702. Are you a raver? Or can you not think of anything worse? On the text line, one person writes, the great cover band in Sydney called Jelly Bean Jam. They play awesome music from the 90s and 80s, the 70s, the noughties. They're awesome to dance to, and I can't wait for them to play again and just go wild. Joanne writes, a couple of years ago at the age of 59, I attended a Living End concert with my kids. When Prisoner of Society was playing, one of my sons hoisted me up on his shoulders. It was utterly fantastic. Best night ever. That sounds lovely, Joanne, as a bit of a Living End tragic myself. And Veronica writes, this Saturday night at Etalong Beach on the Central Coast, our local cooksters and culture makers, the Naughty Noodle Funhouse, have enforced mandatory dress-ups with the theme of joy and whatever that means to you. Us coasties can't wait to sweat and bust out all our moves. To explain dance to us, we're joined from the UK by the one and only Dr. Peter Lovett, Dr. Dance, who's a psychologist and the author of The Dance Cure. G'day, Peter.
Good afternoon.
What's the appeal of dance?
Oh, well, dancing is the most fantastic thing in the world to do. You know, we are born to dance as human beings, and dance gives us four amazing benefits. It bonds societies together. It makes us think differently. It changes us emotionally. And of course, excuse me, it helps us physically as well, not just with our heart and lungs, but our whole body and our brain.
What's going on in the communal aspect of it? Because that's really the thing that is being restored here and that some people find so restorative, that kind of the almost transcendental component of being amongst a group of other primates all jiving in rhythm with one another.
Yeah, well, it's thought that the whole dancing and moving in synchrony came about to bond societies together. When we're moving together, we're more connected. Now, we know from the scientific evidence that when people move together in synchrony, it changes four amazing things. It makes people like each other more. It makes them trust each other more. It makes them feel more psychologically similar in terms of their values and their drives. And remarkably, it makes people show more pro-social behavior, in other words, more helpful behavior. So all of those things coming together, I mean, imagine being with a group of people who are complete strangers, and then simply as a function of your shared movement, you like them more, you trust them more, you're more likely to help them out, and you feel more similar. And that's what's going on at a social level when people dance together. It really is dancing, the glue that binds societies together. It's fantastic. And what we'll see is those people who go nightclubbing and go dancing in the next week or so in Sydney and everywhere, then they will be fundamentally different to the people who don't go dancing. There will be something changed in those people that won't be changed in those that don't dance. So those societies will be bonded in a way that the isolated societies or the isolated individuals won't be so bonded. It's remarkable.
Well, I mean, it is remarkable when you put it like that. And when I think of the modern era of sort of group hypnosis or hysteria around dancing, my mind goes to this. We'll shake it up, baby. Your countryman, Peter, or perhaps a bit of this. Summer's here, and the time's right for dancing in the street. We're dancing in Chicago. Down in New Orleans. In New York City. All we need is music. Sweet music. There'll be music everywhere. There'll be swing and records playing. Those are some of the classics from the 60s. Then, of course, there's the 70s, the age of disco. We're talking dancing with Dr. Peter Lovett in the UK. He's Dr. Dance, a psychologist and author of The Dance Cure, because dancing becomes legal for the first time in 12 months in Sydney. Well, as of yesterday, but really this weekend will be when everybody's taking advantage of it. Peter, how has it been for you in the UK and for Brits during this extremely intense phase of the pandemic and extremely intense succession of lockdowns?
Oh, it's been absolutely terrible. It's been terrible. We're still in lockdown. We can now meet with 6 people outdoors only. So dancing in groups is definitely off the agenda. I'll tell you what, we are so, so jealous of you guys in Sydney being able to get your groove on this weekend, well, from yesterday. It's been tough.
I can imagine, and our sympathy and our thoughts go out to everybody in the UK. It seems like a terrible situation to be in, and the winter, anyone who's endured a British winter, you wouldn't want to be doing it inside and all alone without being able to catch up with friends. So our hearts are with you. But we will still be boogieing this weekend, Peter. It won't stop us. What do you make of the shift between some of the style of music that I was just playing, which people were dancing to in the last century, to the rise of, I suppose, more techno and house music like this?
Oh, I love that.
It's a fantastic song, but what's happening? Like, I think a lot of listeners of a certain age will hear that and go, well, that just sounds, I mean, that's like listening to a motorcycle rev its engine. Like, what's happening with there?
Yeah, but you don't have to listen to it to dance to it. What's amazing is that those sounds and those beats will go direct, they'll mainline into your brain. We have an area of the brain called the sensory motor coupling, which takes in sensory information and it primes the motor areas of your brain. So therefore, it gives you an urge to move. And wherever there's a strong beat and you've got that beat going on, particularly in something like techno, I mean, the stuff you play from the 60s and 70s set you alive as well, but the techno does it too. And DJs are brilliant at being able to manipulate that beat. You get that area of the brain that becomes active when you hear the music. You almost enter into a trance-like state. And then your body just takes over. It goes beyond thinking. Your body just starts moving in response to those rhythms. And what's amazing is on those rhythms there, it may be very kind of structured, but then our body starts to cut that rhythm up in different ways. And we find multiple rhythms within those patterns. And then really amazing people who go clubbing a lot or dancing a lot will find that they'll embody different rhythms in different parts of their body. So they'll be doing one thing with their head. They'll be on their main beat somewhere. And then they'll be cutting that beat up with other parts of their bodies. It'll be amazing. It's great music to dance to.
On the text line, Denise says, dancing causes unbridled happiness and joy. What else is there to say? And Rachel in the Blue Mountains writes, as a wedding coordinator with 75 weddings postponed last year and couples resisting having their weddings this year, even when they could without the dance floors, I can categorically say dancing is the physical and emotional glue that cements wedding memories together. Couples would rather not get married, she writes, than miss that magical 2 hours at the end of their big day with everyone they'd ever like to dance with on the same dance floor. It's just magic. Bring it on, says Rach. Yes, dancing also is a way, isn't it, for us to kind of solidify and consolidate those major life events.
Yeah, because dancing activates our emotions so much, when we have those shared emotional experiences with other people, we really are sharing the core of our soul with them. So when we start moving and we start feeling, and we all start feeling in the same way, we get the shared high. And that leaves a memory for each of us. So not only do we have the memory of the wedding itself and the vows that people make, but we have the memory of the emotion of that day. And we've embodied that emotion. And that's why it's such a hard memory inside our brains and inside our bodies and our hearts. So that connection at the end is really important. What I'm really sad about is that we don't have that in everyday life. It's fantastic at weddings and all kinds of celebrations of 50th birthdays and things to bring people together. Wouldn't it be fantastic if, as a society, we still had social dances, not just where younger people went, but where every age group across society went, and we could have those shared experiences through dancing on a regular basis? It would be fantastic for our societies because it would give us that shared memory and bonding.
How would you get them to agree on the song?
Well, you play a variety, I guess. This is where brilliant DJs come in, because brilliant DJs can read the room and they can see what tunes and what genres move people. Now, there's a bit of science that came out of America, and there was a paper all about the psychology of groove. And this was a paper which took 150 pieces of music, and they wanted to find the grooviest piece of music. And what they found, they did all kinds of scientific studies, and they looked to see which bits of music made people feel an urge to move the most and got people dancing and tapping their feet. And what they found was that Superstition by Stevie Wonder was the grooviest tune ever. Well, just behind the Austin Powers theme tune. Because it's got that syncopated ooh in it. So what we know is we can find pieces of music that people love. And as long as you love the music, then people will dance. And if you play a wide enough variety of music, then lots of people will come together.
I love it. Kirsten's called in with a question for you, Peter. Hello, Kirsten.
Hi, I'm just wondering about the sort of communal cooperation that you get, that your guest was describing, if that also exists in a no lights, no lycra type scenario.
Hello, Kirsten. Thank you for that question. So the no lights, no lycra is a wonderful concept where people dance in the dark. And in some ways that mirrors some type of nightclub experiences too. But the idea is that nobody can see you and you don't have to wear any type of particular type of clothing. But people still have that shared experience. What we know is even when people are moving together on the same beat or moving to a shared stimuli, which is the music in the no lights and no lycra, they will still be having a shared experience. And so we still get that social bonding that comes with that experience. Now, what's fantastic about no lights, no lycra, a dancing in the dark, is that you can get rid of all of those inhibitions. Because sometimes people say, oh, I don't dance because I don't know what I'm meant to do, or I feel self-conscious when I'm dancing, or I'm worried that people are looking at me and making judgments about me. And of course, when we dance in the dark, we can get rid of all of those inhibitions, but we still have this fantastic shared experience. And also, I don't want to get too gross, but you can still smell people. I mean, there's that wonderful thing, all the pheromones rushing around the room, that you still get that nasal experience of dancing with other people.
You say you don't want to get gross, Peter. You don't want to get gross. Thank you, Kirsten, for the call.
Thanks
a lot. Terrific to talk to you, Peter. Thank you for your wisdom. It'd be remiss of me to talk about dance without playing some Daft Punk. Peter, take care of yourself, and thanks for your insights. That's Dr. Peter Lovett, who's Dr. Dance, a psychologist and author of The Dance Cure. We hope that these freedoms aren't taken away from us again in light of the outbreak in Brisbane, which we are keeping a very close eye on. Let's take a quick look at the roads of Sydney with the one and only Warren Purchase from the Australian Traffic Network. Hello, Warren. How are things looking?
Hello, Josh. Well, things are on the improve. We do have a few problems around. We need to take...